When you read the Gospel of Acts and you see the early followers of Jesus talking to people about coming to Christ, I think you'll find it interesting that not one time in those early messages of faith do the disciples of Jesus ever entice others to follow Jesus out of fear of hell or a desire to go to heaven. Now, there's nothing wrong with showing people hell and creating some fear regarding it. But when you read the fathers of the early church, their motivation for following Jesus was that He could change your life now. Their message was that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Receive Him as Lord of your life. Follow His instructions, and He will change your life now. All of us have difficulties in relationships. There's not a one of us exempt. Sometimes we struggle with our spouse. Sometimes maybe it's a problem at work with one of our coworkers. Every single person in this room struggles in relationships. Jesus is the best relationship coach you'll ever have because He's interested in how you live now. Sure, He is your Savior from judgment. Sure, He's going to take you to heaven when you die. But the early message of the followers of Jesus was He can change your life now. So this morning, what I want to do is show you from Luke chapter 9 some practical advice from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ regarding our relationships. And I want to challenge you. Next time you're struggling in your relationship with someone you love or work with or know, don't go to Oprah, don't pick up a book, don't look at a magazine. Listen to Jesus. Here's what happened. Luke chapter 9. And verse 46, an argument erupted among the disciples. Now, before we go any further, I'd like to point out to you that if you ever think being a Christian means you're exempt from arguments, you haven't read the New Testament. If you think that being a follower of Jesus and being married to someone who also loves Jesus means you'll never argue, you haven't read the Gospel of Luke. These who followed Jesus, the disciples, an argument erupted among them as to who would be the greatest. Now remember, Jesus has just explained to them that He will shortly be handed over to men in order to be killed. So it could be that they were thinking, wait, when Jesus is gone, what's going to happen to us? Who's going to be the greatest among us? Who's going to have the mantle of leadership? It's probably a little bit like when a mom or a dad dies and sons and daughters, brothers and sisters gather together for the reading of the will. Arguments will erupt. Who will receive the most? Who will be deemed the greatest? This is what's happening here. Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, took a child and brought this child up in front of the disciples and had the child stand by him. Now we know from the word that is used in Greek, translated into English, that this child was a toddler, a boy or a girl, 2 or 3 years of age. And the scripture says that Jesus said to them, whoever receives this child in My name receives Me. And whoever receives Me receives Him who sent Me. And then He answers the argument. Whoever is least among all of you, it is he who is the one deemed great. I can just imagine the disciples are listening to Jesus, looking at the boy, and thinking to themselves, what? He who is least is he who is great? John answers Jesus and says, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us. In other words, we've seen in our previous study in Luke that the disciples had just come from a scene where a demoniac had been cured. John may be referring to a man who was attempting to heal the young man of the demon that was attacking him. The disciples didn't know the man using the name of Jesus. And so they tried to stop him. They tried to prevent him from doing what he was doing. And then Jesus responds to John, don't hinder him. For he who is not against you is for you. All right, from these words of Jesus, I'd like to give you some of the best relational advice that you will ever receive from anyone. Jesus is the best relationship coach you'll ever have. Here we go. Jesus tells his disciples that the greatest human is the one who considers himself the least. I'm sure as the disciples were arguing, they're looking at each other in the eyeball. They're going back and forth, and this little toddler who might have been playing on the ground, they have completely ignored him. They haven't seen him. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, what they're wanting, pulls a little boy beside him and stops the disciples and have them look at this boy and says to them, you're arguing about who's second in command? Who's going to be the greatest? Take a look at this little boy. You might consider him the least of all those in this crowd. I'm telling you, in my kingdom, he who deems himself the least, it is he who is the greatest. And then he says this, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Remember, the child is a toddler. Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind. The disciples are arguing for who is to be the greatest when Jesus is gone. This little boy is standing beside Jesus, and Jesus is directing their attention to the boy, saying, you receive people like you receive this boy. Because when you receive this boy, you receive me. What? What? I'm going to ask you a question. Are you around toddlers very much? I know the Blakeys are. They've got one. My wife and I were around a toddler yesterday. Our grandson. It's been a while since we've had kids that were that young. But it is a delight to be around a grandson who's three. You can send him home with his parents. We had a great time. I think I told some of my family members, when I turned three, I vaguely remember receiving a tricycle on my third birthday. We were at his birthday party. Levi was turning three. And this is what he got for his birthday. Times have changed. Now, I see this cute little devil, and I'm telling you, let me tell you how I receive him. I love him. I embrace him. I want kisses from him. I give him kisses. Now, he does some really strange things. He's a toddler. But I overlook them. They're cute. I accept him. I receive him for who he is. Get this picture in your mind. This is precisely what Jesus is saying about adults. He brought the little boy up to show his disciples, this is the way that you're to receive one another. The same way you receive this boy. Because when you receive one another the way you receive this boy, you're receiving me. What? Think with me. Those things that your wife does that irritate you, whose problem is it? It's not your wife. You're not listening to your coach. You receive your wife the way you would receive a toddler. Sure, she's an adult. Sure, she's sharp. Sure, she might know better. But the same spirit that you have for a toddler, you're to have for your wife. I embrace her. I accept her. I love her. Now, I can just, again, imagine the disciples listening to this, kind of scratching their head. Huh. Then it sinks in even more. For Jesus reiterates it. You receive people like you receive a toddler, you're receiving me. That's how highly Jesus thinks of his people. John listens, and something comes to mind. Something that they've done. Now, when you're reading the text, it almost looks as if John changes the subject. Maybe you're in your easy chair, you got a cup of coffee, and you're reading Luke chapter 9. You see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. You see him coming down into the valley. You see him heal the demoniac that the disciples couldn't heal. You can imagine maybe a man trying to heal the demoniac using the name of Jesus, and the disciples shut him down because they're not following Jesus with them. You can just picture Jesus as he listens to the argument among the disciples, and he knows what they're thinking. I want to be first. I want to be the greatest. And so he pulls a little boy up alongside himself, and he says to the men, listen to me, men. Receive one another like you receive this boy. For he who is least in the kingdom is greatest. And John then seems to change the subject. But he's not. He says, Jesus, there was a guy here who was trying to help the demoniac, and he was using your name, but we tried to hinder him. We tried to stop him because he's not with us. You see, I think John received the counsel of Jesus and he began to practically apply it, which is what every one of us should do when we hear Jesus. John began to feel conviction. By the way, guys, when you get into an argument with your wife and you begin to listen to Jesus, the best thing you could ever do is do what John did. Verbalize what it is that you've done that you know is wrong. They didn't receive this man as they would a child. They tried to shut him down. And John confesses that. When you say to your wife, you know, sweetheart, man, I was a little rough. My words, you know, they came across in a way I didn't intend. I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That's exactly what John was doing. He says, Lord, there was a man there who was trying to cast out a demon, and we tried to hinder him. And Jesus says, that's right, John. Now you're getting it. Now you're hearing me. You're on the same team, John. Don't shut him down. For he who is not against you. He is with you. Receive Him like you would this little boy. This is a good word for guys in my position. You know, over the years, there are people who, you know, they don't like Emmanuel the way they used to. They might couch it in God is leading me in another direction, and they go to another church. Wow. I'm listening to Jesus. I would never hinder anyone who goes to another church from going. We're on the same team. You're my brother. And if the Spirit of God is leading you to do something, who am I? I'm going to love and accept you and embrace you the way I would a toddler. Not that I think you're a toddler. It's that my spirit toward you is going to be the same way. Man, I love you. I love your presence. I love who you are. I'm going to overlook your weaknesses. I'm going to accept you. And that's why when you're around people who understand Jesus, man, they're great people to be around because they just accept you. First Assembly, First Methodist, First Presbyterian, the church down the road, Life Church, Journey Church, we're all on the same team. We are all in this together. We have a gentleman in our church, Jojo and his wife. They're from the Philippines. They love Emmanuel. They came to us after the early service and said, Adam, Pastor, we'd like to receive some training. We're going back to the Philippines, and we want to unite the people on the island of Leyte. That's where MacArthur landed at the end of World War II. We want to unite the Christians there, all denominations, Roman Catholics. We want everybody to see that if you claim Jesus, if you name Him, we're on the same team. Folks, we got to get this. We've got to get this. There's coming a day when people who hate the name of Jesus will be coming after anyone who names the name of Jesus. Back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, maybe we could have argued with one another over doctrine. We've got to stop. And we've got to receive people who follow Jesus the way we receive a toddler. Sure, they may be off doctrinally. Sure, they may not pray the same way we do. Sure, they may not worship the way we do. But we're on the same team. And this is what Jesus is saying. And this is where John was convicted. And this is what I would say to you. Best advice I've ever been given is to love the people of God the way I love my grandson toddler. You see, defending the faith doesn't mean destroying the brethren. And you could be struggling in your family. You could be struggling in your marriage. You could be under attack yourself. And sometimes people, when they're in the middle of pain, sometimes they lash out because of that pain. It's like a little bit like a caged animal. When they're trapped, they will do everything they can to get out of the trap. And that's what people sometimes will do to others. I would say to you that receiving criticism is God's test to us for our relational commitment to Him. I'm telling you, people in this room, you know what it means to be criticized. Yeah. Roy's been criticized. I've been criticized. You've been criticized. People don't like the way you think, the way you talk, the way you act. People criticize you publicly, privately. Listen to me. When that happens to you, see that person the way you would a toddler. Open your heart to them. Embrace them Accept them. This is the best relationship advice you'll ever be given. I had a gentleman after the early service say to me, "Pastor, that may work for some. It can't work for me. Somebody comes after me, I want to attack them. I want to put fear in them." I challenged him. I said, "Oh, I know what you're saying. That's the natural way. It's the way you were raised. I disagree with you. I've watched you over the years. And I've seen you grow in your understanding of who Jesus is. And I've seen you love people who haven't loved you." He kind of got a sheepish look on his face, said, "Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "I think I've discovered life." I said, "Yes, you have." I want to challenge you this morning. You may be right smack dab in the middle of an argument with people who are on the same team with you. Back up just a moment. Take a step back. And think of a 3-year-old toddler. And picture Jesus saying to you, "Listen, you receive the people around you like you do a toddler. Because when you receive people like that, you receive me. And when conviction comes like it did to John, Jesus, we tried to shut down that guy." Jesus said, "Yeah, I know you did. That's what I'm saying. That guy's with you. You're on the same team. Don't shut him down." I believe the way I respond to criticism is God's test for me in terms of my commitment to Him. So it is with you. You go home. You're struggling. You're tired. You're irritated. You're hungry. Work is pressing in on you. Your wife says something to you. Your husband says something to you. And you feel yourself lashing out. Lashing out. Stop. Visually, see a child and listen to Jesus Christ. He will change your life now. Receive that person like you would a child. And you will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. World doesn't see this. I get that. But you do. I know that. Now let's put it into practice. And I promise you, we will be a people who are like a magnet to the world. I want to be around people like that, who smile, whose hearts are open, who embrace people like they do toddlers, who pat toddlers on the back and pat adults on the back. When a toddler says something mean, they overlook it. When a toddler does something that's crazy, they say, "It's all right." You have a spirit like that in your home? And in your church and in your community, the power of God falls. God's developing that among us. I thank Him for that. I just remind you, Jesus does save you from hell, and He is taking you to heaven. But He's the best relationship coach you'll ever have. Let's pray together. Father, this morning I pray that the words that we have heard will not just be words of a sermon or a message, but we will have heard You. We will have heard Your words. Lord, I pray that I've been faithful to the meaning of them. Where I have not, I pray Your Spirit will correct in the hearts of Your people what needs to be corrected. Lord, in my own life, I pray that every time I feel a desire to strike back every time I feel a desire to criticize when criticized. Every time I feel like I want to be mean, I pray you will remind me of my toddler grandson. And I pray you will remind me that the way I receive him is the way that I am to receive all those who are on your team. And Lord, where I have failed, I pray that you will give me the spirit that you gave to John to acknowledge my failure, to correct it, to move forward. Make us a church. Make my family a family. Make me an individual who listens to you for the way we relate to people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.